Chapter 15. Babel, the Religion of the Cursed. Let's read from the book of Genesis, chapter 11, verses 1 through 9. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said to one another, Go to, let us make brick, and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar, and they said, Go to, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, Behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, so that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. In this age of superstition and spiritual ignorance, it is fairly easy to convince even educated people that when human beings die, they float around in the air looking for a body to inhabit and come back to earth in some animal form or as another person. It's not difficult to persuade well-read, well-educated people that there are highly intelligent little green men from Mars or Pluto flying in and out of the Earth's atmosphere in UFOs, looking for friendly faces with whom to communicate. Yet, it is next to impossible to persuade men of the most self-evident, undeniable facts revealed in Scripture, among the many things which men choose not to believe because they do not wish to believe them, is the fact that Satan is real, his influence is real, and that his most cunning, powerful, deceptive influence has always been religious deception. This is a fact men and women ignore to the peril of their souls and to the peril of the souls under their influence. Satan today is what he has been throughout the history of this world, our adversary. He is the avowed enemy of God, of Christ, the gospel, and our souls. In his pride, the fiend of hell longs to occupy the place of God. He longs to sit upon the throne of total sovereignty because God has given that place to His Son and to chosen sinners in His Son from eternity. Apollyon has been bent upon the destruction of Christ and His people from the beginning. The red dragon of hell is determined to destroy Christ and the woman of His choice, His bride, the church. No other explanation can be given for the serpent's attack on Adam and Eve in the garden, other than the serpent's hatred for God and his people. Satan's rage was displayed in Cain's murder of his brother Abel. As we have seen, Cain murdered his brother for only one reason. Abel confessed that the only way a sinner can approach God is by the blood and righteousness of the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Abel was the first disciple of Christ, persecuted and murdered for righteousness' sake. That is, the righteousness of Christ. It was Satan's hellish influence that swelled Ham's heart with pride and hypocrisy, causing him to despise his father Noah and gleefully expose his sin. Satan's master plan, by which he seeks to dominate the world, by which he strives to destroy the souls of men, by which he toils night and day to do what he knows he cannot do, for example, to topple the throne of the Almighty and destroy the people of God's love. Satan's master plan is deception, hellish, religious deception. Satan is the master of deception. The prince of darkness is the great imitator. The primary sphere of his activity is in the spiritual religious realm. It is the natural depravity of the human heart which leads people into drugs, alcohol, pornography, adultery, fornication, abortion, and murder. By these things, men and women destroy their own lives and the lives of others. Satan's devices are far more crafty. He seeks to destroy the souls of men by religion and righteousness. He cannot destroy the Christ of God, so he raises up false Christs, antichrists. He cannot keep sinners from Christ by making them ever so wicked, so he transforms himself into an angel of light and sends preachers from hell to teach sinners how to make themselves righteous. He cannot destroy the church and the kingdom of God, the woman of Christ's choice, his virgin bride who has been made holy beyond blame or reproach by his grace and righteousness. So the destroyer has, from the beginning, raised up and maintained a religion to rival the worship of God, a woman to rival the church of God and to seek to destroy it. This rival religion, this rival woman, by whom the prince of darkness rules the minds of men and women throughout the world, is referred to throughout the scriptures as Babylon, the great whore, the mother of all harlot religion. The wine of this old, old whore's fornication, by which she keeps the heads and hearts of men in the spin of a drunken stupor, is a self-righteous religion of works and free will. We are warned and commanded by God to come out of and to have nothing to do with the blasphemous, soul-damning charms of a religion which is based on works or free will. The religion of Babylon is the religion of the damned. The religion of this world began as an organized religious system way back in Genesis 10 and 11, during the days of Nimrod and the building of the Tower of Babel. The story of Nimrod and the Great Tower of Babel was prominent in medieval folklore. Regrettably, most of what people think about Nimrod, Babel, and the Great Tower of Babel arises not from the account given by divine inspiration, but from medieval folklore. The myths and legends of dark ages still linger. We are told by many that the walls of Babel were 9 miles high. Men and women commonly pass over the account given in Scripture, giving it little notice and learning nothing from it, simply because they mistakenly picture a huge tower reaching upwards towards heaven, so high that men hoped to walk into heaven by climbing a brick tower. How easily Satan blinds us to the warnings and teachings of Holy Scripture. The city of Babylon, was built by cursed Ham's grandson Nimrod in rebellion against God as a fortress to protect unbelieving rebels from the wrath and judgment of God. The religion of Babel is the religion of the cursed, the damned, the reprobate. The man who built this city was Nimrod, a mighty rebel. The name Nimrod means rebel, and a rebel this man was. He was the cursed son of a cursed son. Nimrod knew of the curse of God upon Ham and Canaan. He knew the reason for the curse. He knew that what Ham had done to Noah, yet being the proud rebel that he was, Nimrod dared to set himself up as the judge of God's judgment. He was a hunter, but not just a hunter of game. This man was a bloodthirsty man. He wanted all men to be put in subjection to him, and he was determined to make it happen no matter whom or how many he had to kill. God said, "The sons of Ham will serve Japheth and Shem." Nimrod said, "We'll see about that." He began to be a mighty one in the earth and took possession of the land of Shinar and all the peoples of the east. When we read in verse 9 that he was a mighty hunter before the Lord, the word "before" would be better translated "against." The start of this God-hating rebel's empire was Babel. It had been at least 300 years since the flood. The terror of God's judgment had been forgotten. The people were of one language, doing great impressive things. Nimrod made himself powerful. The words and counsel of Eber were ignored. The gospel that he learned from his grandfather Noah through his godly father Shem was held in contempt. The worship of God was trampled underfoot. The sheer power of Nimrod's wealth, influence, following, and terror caused the whole world, except for God's chosen remnant, to follow him and unite with him in the name of God in fighting against God and his people. The city of Babel, which Nimrod built, was more than a place of government. Babel was a religious refuge. Today we associate the word Babel with confusion. That is what the name has come to mean, because it is there that God caused confusion. However, the word Babel originally meant something far different. Nimrod named the city Babel because Babel meant the gate of God. In the name of worshiping God, like Cain of old, Nimrod was determined to worship God only on his own terms. In other words, in reality, he was worshiping himself and calling it the worshiping of God. This is what the Holy Spirit calls will worship in Colossians chapter 2, verse 23. Babel was a refuge of lies, but a refuge in which men tried to secure themselves from the wrath of God and convince themselves that they had done so. Babel, like all false religion, was built by a confederacy of rebels. They said one to another, "Honest, faithful, believing men do not try to gain the approval or amass strength of others in worshiping God. They just worship God, obeying His will and His word." Rebels need the enforcement of other rebels. They never dare to stand alone with God and for the glory of God against the flood of human opinion. Babel, like all false religion, was a religious refuge built according to man's wisdom. The followers of Nimrod discovered a new way of doing things. They made bricks and mixed mortar, the bricks of their self-righteous works held together by the serpent slime of their free will. To build a church house and a city with man-made material for the honor of man and called it the gate of God, it was the most splendid city and the most impressive temple the world had ever seen, but God held it in utter contempt. And so did those men and women who worshipped him. Like all false religion, the city and Tower of Babel were built by men for men to protect them from the judgment of God. That is the meaning of verse 4. "Go to let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach to heaven, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth." Obviously, the sons of Ham understood that the curse God had placed upon them meant the dispersion of their race throughout all the earth, the destruction of their family. They said, "No, sir. We'll stay right here and protect ourselves from God's judgment by building a house and religion which God Himself will have to approve of, by which the whole world will know our names forever." When the Scriptures speak of this tower reaching to heaven, nothing more is implied than a very high, massive wall, a fortress. It matters not what a person's refuge is if it is not Christ and Him crucified. It is a refuge of lies which will be swept away in the day of God's wrath. The religion of Babel was exactly the same as the religion of this perverse generation, the religion of the curse. False religion has always been God's curse upon men and women who refuse to worship Him. All false religion is man-centered, flesh-pleasing, a religion of works and free will, a religion by which man attempts to make himself acceptable to God. This was the mark of Cain. This is the mark of the beast. This is the religion of our age. In ancient Babylon, in the days of Nimrod, in defiance to the God of Noah, men said, "Let us build us a city and make a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name." That is the creed of all false religion. The religion of Babylon is any religion which centers on man, depends upon man, and gives him a name of honor. It matters not what name the religion wears. Any religion that makes salvation dependent upon something man does rather than what Christ has done is the religion of Babylon. Any religion that makes salvation something which is determined by the free will of man rather than the will of God is the religion of Babylon. Let me be unmistakably clear. First, election. No one can deny that the Bible teaches the doctrine of election, but most say that election is determined by God responding to what He foresaw man would do. Others say God chose to save whosoever will be saved, and if a man wills to be saved, he makes himself one of the elect. In either case, election is dependent on the will of man. The Word of God declares that election is by God's sovereign will alone. Two, redemption. All religions which claim to be Christian profess to believe in redemption by the blood of Christ. Most declare that the blood of Christ was shed to redeem those who perish as well as those who are saved. Such doctrine means that Christ shed His blood in vain for those who perish in hell. It declares that it is man who makes the blood of Christ effectual for redemption by the power of his free will. The Word of God declares that Christ has effectually accomplished the redemption of His people. Three, regeneration. Regeneration, the new birth, is declared to be the result of man's choice. But the Word of God plainly states that man's will has nothing to do with the accomplishment of the new birth. It is the work of God's will and power alone. The cause of divine judgment was then, as it is now and ever shall be, the willful rejection of divine revelation. The words at the end of verse 6, "Now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do," are not a suggestion that God was fearful that these men might actually get to heaven by their inventions. These words are a declaration of the basis of divine judgment. Nimrod and the sons of Ham would not by any means be turned away from their delusion. Look what happened when the Lord God came down to Babel to visit them with His wrath and vex them with His sore displeasure. He confounded their language so that they could not understand one another. He sealed them up in confusion and reprobation. God planned it so that those who would not believe could not believe. The sons of Ham could no longer understand the speech of Shem's sons. The sons of God speak a language that the world cannot understand. The Lord God scattered the rebels. He scattered them from place to place over the earth. He scattered them in enmity against one another. Through all the earth so that they might serve His purpose of grace towards His elect in all places. Nothing and no one will ever frustrate God's purpose, destroy His church, or even slightly hinder His plan. As Satan and the demons of hell are God's unwitting vassals, so too the sons of Ham can do nothing but serve God's elect exactly according to God's purpose. The confusion of divine judgment is ended forever in Christ, only in Christ. The Lord God sent confusion in His wrath to foil the schemes of hell. But when God pours upon men the spirit of grace and supplication and turns their heart to Christ as He did on the day of Pentecost, the confusion is over. All who would know, worship, and be saved by God must come out of Babel, the religion of the cursed, and flee to Christ.